Okay, friends, welcome to the second session of the World Cafe. Thank you for those of you who were able to participate with us yesterday. A lot of great things come out of that, and we will be sharing that with you in the next few moments. The purpose of this gathering is to again discern the Lord's will for Iowa Yearly Meeting as we move forward into the future. So we hope that you will enjoy your time and have some fun and fellowship around your table, but we want to remind you first and foremost that this is really a solemn assembly. It is a sacred moment for Iowa Yearly Meeting. It's something that we want to take serious. We believe that God still speaks and his people can hear him. And as friends, we believe that that is discerned in community, one with the other, because each of us have the person of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we're looking for that that still, small, soft voice that echoes in our hearts in unison. So today, as we are gathered here, Jesus Christ is in the midst of us. And we are equals as we sit in his presence. And we believe that each of us have the ability to hear what the Spirit says to the church and the obligation to speak forth what it is that God is placing on our heart regarding the questions and the directions of this great yearly meeting. So why don't we take just a few moments to center ourselves in the presence of Christ. Would you reverently bow your or close your eyes and just have some time with the good Lord, asking him to speak to your heart? Would you lift up some prayers on behalf of the exercises we'll be going through, and that the Holy Spirit really will continue to speak to us in unity, and may we have peace with what he is saying to us. Our Father, as we gather here, we declare that this is truly the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be in it. And we know a part of this being your day is also brought forth in the book of Acts, that you have placed us at this time in history and at this geographical location for some specific and purposeful things. And so we thank you that you have gathered us here and that you have chosen to dwell among us, and that even this day, through the work of Jesus Christ and the activity of the Holy Spirit, we are the embodiment of you in that sense. You've come to live in us. And so, Holy Spirit, today, would you unite our hearts, and as we open our ears to you, let us hear one another and how you are speaking through them. And may you help us see where Jesus is working in this world and how we can participate in this unique way through Iowa Yearly Meeting. Thank you for the rich heritage. Thank you for those who've been faithful. And now, Lord, we confess this is our watch that you have called us to. And we want to leave a legacy of faithfulness and following the Spirit's leading and serving our man, fellow man, as God, you have called us to. And so that others would be encouraged as we've been encouraged by those who have gone before us. May they be encouraged by our faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. We trust you for the activity of the next few moments. May you be glorified, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you have before you a sheet of paper right down the middle of your table. We're going to entertain three questions today. These questions come out of the responses that you gave us yesterday. These are the four questions that you looked at yesterday and wrote down your response to, which we then tried to summarize at our tables and post on the wall. After the session yesterday, there were a group of people who went and summarized the summaries so that we would have an idea of how the Spirit was speaking to us collectively. So we looked at why should Iowa Yearly Meeting continue to exist? What are her core values? We used the word her for the church because in the Greek it's in the feminine. So we are her today. What are our core values? What challenges do we face in Iowa Yearly Meeting? And what are the questions that we need to be asking at this historic time? Our, the group of people who summarized yesterday's activity came up with five themes. So we sense the Spirit is calling us to focus on five things at this time as we look to the future. One is unity. Unity not only in terms of intergenerational, but theological, philosophically, were some of the things that came out of that. Relevance in society was another one. Person of the Holy Spirit, equipping members in leadership development and finances. We do not have time to deal with all of those areas today. I think you'll be encouraged over the next few weeks and months to take some of these topics back to your meeting and sit with others and seek discernment of the Lord and some of these key areas. And so we're excited about where that will be going. But today we're going to focus on just three of these. Question number five, building on yesterday's four, is what are the key challenges to unity in Iowa Yearly Meeting? What are those key challenges? Yesterday we were flying about 50,000 feet, and you focused in on this target. So we're looking at about 25,000 feet today and asking you, as we seek the Spirit's leading, what are the challenges that we have to address, not only today, but as we move forward as a yearly meeting? All righty, friends, would you give your attention to our narrators as they will summarize for us what we sense the Spirit saying to us about unity in this great yearly meeting?
Hey, guys, I'm Peyton Greiner from Trinity Friends. I'm Pastor Tim's intern, so pray for me. So we got down forward kind of things in summation here. The first one is distance and isolation. A lot of us can identify with that more than others. We talked a little bit about that in the pastors' association meeting. Different traditions and preferences. I think a lot of times we let that get in the way when it's not really core issues that should matter. Kind of like Bethany said, like, we're going to have turkey or ham on Thanksgiving. Well, you know, be thankful. It doesn't matter, right? So time and the lack of making time for each other to connect and be together in one body. And then focus and vision, but not necessarily a lack of focus and vision, but focusing on many, many things at once instead of zeroing in on, you know, this is what we want, tackling that issue and then going on to what's next. So.
Pat Coffin, we have different understandings of what Scripture says on social or political issues today. Different preferences for worship styles, and a problem with time commitment to develop unity in making priorities for Iowa Yearly Meeting.
Michelle Putz. Ours was lack of money and time, people saying they're Christians, but they really don't understand their faith, people not taking time to get interested and focus in on God.
Name's Abigail. One invitation. Can you read? read the first one. Individual intuition of our beliefs progress to involve all ages, groups, and hourly, yearly meeting activities or decisions.
Justin Weber, we came up with whether it should be thin or pan. Just kidding. Ours is to be open to the Holy Spirit, which means to be open to people where the Holy Spirit dwells, and to be open to divergent views theologically, having a hermeneutics of generosity rather than having a hermeneutics of suspicion of each other. To be humble, be Holy Spirit-led, to be Holy Spirit-filled people. And one of the things that always has cropped up a number of times is creating the space to getting to know one another so that our capacity for confrontation is reduced. The more we get to know each other, the less confrontation and conflict. And also to maximize ministry and to minimize maintenance.
We have been unintentional in relationships. We have an inward focus, which results in a sense of self over a sense over community, affecting multi-generation, interfaith, and multicultural. What's the last word I want there? Awareness? I don't know. Unity? Give me a word. I'll have my table give me a word, and then I'll post it. Thanks.
Tom Palmer, our challenges we came up with were similar to some of the rest of you, generational differences, age differences, in most maybe vividly in worship style, music style, challenges that comes when we don't respect each other's tastes and their different views. Unity doesn't necessarily mean uniformity, that we can still be united. Maybe we don't all see it exactly the same way. And then missional, outward focus, being institutional versus institutional or inward focused. And similar to evangelism versus social action.
All right. I'm Larry Junker. Our first one was unity in Christ before unity as a church. All people need to be spending time reading the Word and spending time in prayer before we can agree to anything as a church. Clear focus and vision ensure everyone is on the same page as to where we should be focusing our energy and our resources. And we also put down that we have a lot of different people in the church. It's got good diversity, which is a good thing. We just need to ensure we're listening to everyone's ideas because that's where new ideas come from.
Nathaniel Vanderplug. I am from Grinnell, place full of bald people, and I'm the intern at Middle River Friends. Number one, a sense of selfishness, especially with our personal preferences, pushing our own agenda, etc. Letting our own busyness get in the way of investing in the lives of the body of a belief, in our own body of believers, and making that a priority. And also conformity to the world, leading to a compromise of the Word of God.
Some of the challenges we saw, we had a pastor at our table. He threw out, it wasn't me, believe you me, Amos 3:3, you must agree on direction. Distance between meetings geographically provides challenges. Also the frequency of physical meetings. If you don't gather with one another, you don't become acquainted and develop relations. Societal values spilling over into the church that challenge biblical values and teaching, that as we bring people into the church, you know, we got to indoctrinate them the right way instead of letting them indoctrinate us. And last point we had was understanding of Quakerism and the challenge there of maybe some are unwillingness to seek that wisdom of what Quakers historically have stood for and practiced.
I'm Joanna Thury, daughter to Spencer Thury. Please pray.
Seems like a
some of the challenges that we wrote were common core beliefs and concerning the word of God.
Margaret Good, I'm not going to repeat some of the ones that you've already heard several times, so I'll go down the list here a little bit. Distance is a problem for fellowship in some places. Different opinions about acceptable behavior according to Scripture. Different views on evangelism. Lack of commitment on committees. People come from church backgrounds other than friends.
We must be united in vision, be flexible in our preferences, willing to follow while others are led by God, and work together and stay motivated until we see God's will come to pass.
This is getting very repetitious, but it's showing something, I guess. Ours were unity, geographic separation, the different interpretations of Scripture, time or busyness, a lack of connectivity to the local members of the monthly meeting, to the Iowa yearly meeting, unwillingness to make changes, and world values encroaching on our church.
I am Emma Chase, and the challenges that we discussed were diversity, whether that be cultural, generational, or personal, and then the lack of communication or miscommunication that arises due to that, and then having a focus on our vision or perspective instead of what God's vision is, and then a lack of prayer.
Patty Phillips. We have how we manage our empty pulpits, filling them with Quakers who stay faithful to the Christian and Quaker principles, and our monthly meeting, participating in yearly meetings. We have a lack of people who come. And we need more interaction between and identification with the yearly meeting and the monthly meetings.
Chris Evertson, Banger. Pretty much the same as most of them, effective communication. Not only getting the word out, but explaining the word of what's being said. Encourage engagement with local and yearly meetings. Being mindful to God's word, respecting the word, and sharing the word. And respecting leadership.
Robert Radcliffe, we thought that the monthly meetings need to buy in and support the vision of the Iowa yearly meeting. That needs to happen through the leadership of the pastors and the elders and those who are called to be leaders.
Thank you. Let's take a moment to thank the Lord for what we just experienced. Several of you mentioned that there was a lot of repetition. I think that's a good thing. We're on the same page. Wow. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you again for what you just did in our midst. And we sense that you truly are speaking to us. And we celebrate the fact that we're under your leadership. And as we move forward into the future, as we walk with you and listen to your Spirit and dwell with one another in unity, not only will the world know that we are your disciples by how we love one another, but we'll be effective in the work that we do for your glory. Thank you, Father, for this time. Amen. Okay, before we go into our next question, if you need to stretch a moment, please do. We want our narrators to stay at the table, and would the rest of you find another location and some different people to engage? Take a moment to introduce yourselves, share your name, what church you're with.
We get ready to go to question number 6. I just thought of a little bit of an incident that highlights what he was talking about, he being Adrian, about the 50,000-foot elevation questions. We were talking about this morning over here that we were talking about the really high and broad and way out there type questions yesterday, and today we're trying to start to bring it down. I was just thinking that when I was in the Air Force, the last 2 years I worked in the Air Defense Command, and I was in a command post operation. I was just an enlisted lowly guy. But one day, one of the young pilots that I knew fairly well came by and said, "Hey, I got a back seat open. You want to take a ride?" What? You would know. He was asking if you want to take a ride, and I said, sure. So I got to get in the back seat of a T-33 jet trainer, which had a stick instead of a steering wheel, and we were riding along across northern Minnesota from Grand Forks, North Dakota to Duluth. Then we got out of Duluth. We were headed to Kansas City before we went back to Grand Forks, North Dakota all in one afternoon. And he says, here, you want to take the stick? I said, well, sure. And I was wanting to impress him. I didn't want to let him know how much I was sweating and scared to death in the back seat. So I took a hold of the stick, and I was trying to be very, very astute. You know, I was making sure that I was staying straight on the compass heading, and I wanted to make sure that my I was level in my wing, and held it there for a little while, and finally he said, are you done? I said, yeah, I'm done. He said, I'll take it back. He took it back. He said, well, you did really good, Ron. You did really good. We stayed on the right heading and stuff. However, we raised over 3,000 feet in elevation while you were flying us. So I guess my point was, when he mentioned 25,000 feet, we were flying at 25,000 feet. And if we get so caught up focused on one thing, you know, or maybe two things, we might miss the third thing, which is pretty important also. We probably didn't have clearance to be at 28,000 feet, you know. But it was an experience that made a real impression on me, and I got to thinking about it as we talked about it again this afternoon. We need to open up our mind here, but also be allowed to think about everything that's going on, because the word use that I use often still today is from Michelle Herman. She and I were talking at Quakerdale one day about the necessity of keeping a focus on the big picture. You have to. You can't just get so narrowly focused you forget what's really going on all the other different areas around your life. So as we head into question number 6, Adrian will introduce it. I just wanted us to help. I just wanted to give you a pause is what I was trying to do, to think as we move into the next question. But keep our eyes wide open. All right, gracious Lord, we do ask that you continue to guide us. The spirit of enthusiasm that we're feeling from the front of this room is awesome. And I'm just praying, Lord, that you help us to really take a hold of this time together, that we'll be able to take it home and somehow or another relate that back in our home meetings. Jesus, we need all of that. So let us be focused now and work together to hear what you're saying through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Holy Spirit identified through you yesterday another area of concern that would be relevance in the world today. Will you take a minute or so and write down what you sense God saying to you about the struggles we have with being relevant in society today as a yearly meeting? Okay, are we ready to share? Okay, we'll begin up front, work our way down the middle, and then out around the outside. Please give your attention to our narrators, please.
Okay, we see your question, we raise it 5 questions. We started out with, first we need to figure out what does relevant mean. We need to be in the world, not of the world. How do we communicate purpose to generation, not just X, Y, or Z, but all generations we're trying to reach? And how do we make one message meaningful to many age groups?
Country club mentality. Bias against marketing. Bias against technology. And I want compromise for the sake of the group rather than for big vision.
We talked about if we were driven by fear and stuck in our comfort zone because of that fear. And so we struggle in discipleship across cultures, across generations. But are we also unwilling to change? As well as unwilling to get in that community because of our fear?
All right. I like to write, so I was still writing, but I'll go ahead and stop now. First thing we put down was image. People need to know who we are and what we believe in. Coming up with new ideas while still holding true to the gospel. Getting outside the church. Creating friendships, not just church friendships, which goes along with the next one, which I put was fellowship versus meetings. Meetings can burn you out and fellowship can ignite you. Meeting people's needs in the community. Meet people where they are and help them.
Connecting God's view to world's values. Meaningful worship style. Christian means different things to everyone. Discipleship, just a few hours a week. Talking, not doing and serving. We lack in diversity with ethnic and racial issues. Technology and social networking is necessary. Need to be effective listeners in their language, whether that's a foreign language or just a different way of speaking because of a different generation. Need to move beyond church walls to go to the people, not expect them to come to us.
We came up with individual rights versus corporate responsibilities. The church needs to influence society more than society influences the church. Clinging to traditions versus following the leading of the Holy Spirit, which can be found through time in His Word and in prayer.
Some of the struggles that that we wrote down were expressions of our values that are different from the world around us and releasing our leaders to lead.
Fear, first and foremost, fear has been said a lot. Fear of opposing and offending people and opposing and staring down world values and doing so with grace. Focusing on the essentials more than the non-essentials is something we need to do. And we also need to recognize the difference between fundamental principles and traditions.
We wrote down, trying to put this in the best summary I could, we cannot be disconnected with our local community and expect change. We must go fishing for the lost outside our comfort zones and of our church walls. Our spiritual lives must be real and intimate with Christ, not a false religion, much like hypocrites. We must be transformed by Christ with joy, not an Eeyore of the faith, but a Tigger. We must be willing to show and tell the world we are Christ-absorbed and not self-absorbed. This is spiritual transformation versus worldly conformity. So we speak in relevant terms without compromising the holy gospel message.
Perhaps we don't really believe that the gospel is the answer. The lack of boldness and confidence then that comes from that. We're ashamed that our fellowship might not have relevant answers even for the world we live in. And we have a fear of getting our hands dirty.
So we struggle with not being a well-known denomination because people have the stereotype that we are stuck in the 1800s because, yes, we do have electricity. We're too focused on competing with the world because we offer something different than the world. We offer Jesus. It's like comparing apples to oranges.
Many of the ones that we had have already been repeated numerous times. One of the things is about a fresh way of expressing the Holy Spirit-empowered testimonies, which would be more attractive to the world, because I think we're relevant. I just don't think we do a very good job of articulating it and expressing it. And one of the things that's cropped up is that we identify with people rather than asking people to identify with us and to meet people where they are.
We came up with several. The size of the Iowa Yearly Meeting hinders its influence on the world and issues around us. People are unfamiliar with Quakers and our terminology. Our resistance to technology does not allow us to fit in. It's hard to stay abreast of the world's values and morals. Entanglement in political agendas that stop us from taking a stand on morality and a desire not to become worldly.
Embrace change lead by Holy Spirit, lack of trying to find someone to invent in or innovate in you.
Relevance isn't about how we look at others, but it's how we love others. When we show them love, we will show them our relevance and take time, and they will take time to be a part of the Iowa Yearly Meeting. Struggle is really between God and Satan, not between Iowa Yearly Meeting and the culture.
We had people weigh the relevance of the world over the church, misconceptions of Quakers, or if they're even still around, and evidencing the relevance of the gospel.
We put, how do you define relevance and how do you measure the success of whatever is relevant? And are we being relevant to a need or to a generation or to a culture? Misconception of Quaker stereotypes. And we already have what we need in the spirit to be relevant. So we feel the big idea is that we are not listening to the spirit.
So we discussed a lot of the same things. A lot of you did. A couple of things we had maybe a little bit different. Being willing to honor the past while being willing to, you know, move forward and build a new kind of church and a new kind of church atmosphere where necessary. We've kind of heard that, but I mean, how many of you know that the way we do church, no matter the denomination, I mean that's been here since the 30s. And it was different before that. And if we look back at how church was done, I mean, a lot of the things we do are still the same, but the way we do them are a little bit different. The meanings behind what we do are the same. The way they did church in Paul's time, I mean, that was modeled after synagogues, right? And that's, you know, we've built on it since then. So we just got to be open to you know, being adaptable. And certain things are awesome, and certain things are beautiful, and certain things are biblical. And certain things, you know, they can be changed, and they can be changed to be relevant and relevant to younger people and unchurched people. I mean, forget the age. If they're not Quakers, what are they going to find attractive? I'm sure we could list a lot of things, but let's increase that list, and I bet we increase our ranks. Sorry, I'm gonna hurry. As far as in regards to Iowa Yearly Meeting specifically, being too church focused as opposed to, you know, lost focused, and remembering that it's not okay to point to Iowa Yearly Meeting as an organization and say, well, this is what's going on that's wrong. It starts individually and in each of our personal walks. So,
thank you. Thanks, Peyton. Say you got a call to preach, eh? Wow, praise the Lord. Thank you for following faithfully the leading of the Spirit and sharing. Got one more question in you, I hope. Yeah? Father, thank you again for helping us through this time. Thank you for the unity we sense and the direction we sense in terms of how we can be most relevant for your glory in the world today. Help us now as we move further. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, would you mix it up one more time, please? Narrators, please stay at your table. So we're looking at question number 7. Again, this was surfaced out of our time yesterday. What place does the Holy Spirit have in Iowa Yearly Meeting? It's a lot of discussion about the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit, the role of the Spirit. So let's, for the next few moments, just
try to get a sense for how the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of this great yearly meeting. What role do you see the Holy Spirit wanting to have in Iowa yearly meeting, both now and in the future? Okay, please give your attention to our narrators.
Okay. So we said, sorry, this might be a little long. We do a lot of talking about being Spirit-led, but we don't always take the time to actually listen to the Spirit and seek guidance through prayer. Because our power and ministry successes come from the direct connection to God that we get through the Spirit. If we aren't using that connection, then our ministry isn't being 100% effective, or it hasn't reached that yet.
We also came to the same conclusions that Emma's table did, that we often give lip service about being led by the Holy Spirit, but often the analogy of the Queen of England, who is a puppet figure that has no power, we kind of do that also many times, that we say we're being led by the Holy Spirit, but actually we're being led by our own pride and egos. But the Holy Spirit should be the center of our life together as our guide, our teacher, our comforter, and our energizer.
Well, we kind of started off with the shoulds, and I think we all know that there's a lot of things the Holy Spirit should be. And then we followed it up with the questions that says why he's not. And it says, are we open to listening to him? Are we letting our lives, our pride, and our personal lives get in the way? Is he our everything? Do we depend on him for our gifts, and then do we use the ones he gives us? Do we allow open worship, for him to speak to us? Do we give him priority in our speaking to us and over our own views? Do we rely on him for leadership? And the Spirit wants to lead, but do we have the desire or the patience to allow him to do so?
For ours, we had the Holy Spirit shown should be the center, but it isn't always the center of our discussion. We talk about what it has done for us, but in the past, but not always what it's doing for us now and what we think it should, or what we hope it'll do for us in the future. And we need to not constrict the Holy Spirit with our schedule, and like we have it set schedule and we do all this stuff and we're trying to like constrict it, and yeah.
The Holy Spirit wants to move and impact us and our meetings as much as we will allow him to. But we need to stop limiting him by coming in with our own agendas before giving him time to speak.
We see the Holy Spirit as central, the guide, and source of empowerment. The Holy Spirit enables us to join God in what he is already doing.
Our table also had a discussion of our points are based on the fact that we are listening to the Holy Spirit. In that, it should provide guidance and direction to our leaders. And in times of indecision, we should allow the Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit fills and empowers, and we should allow it to enter our members' hearts so they may use their gifts to further the kingdom.
We discussed pretty much what the Holy Spirit led every other table to talk about. So we agree. We're with you.
We said that the Holy Spirit is central to our community, the divine equipper of the full body for ministry. He is to be waited upon again and again with intentionality on both an individual and a corporate level so that we can share in the body of Christ how he's moving in our lives for the full edification of the Church of God.
Iowa Yearly Meeting generally does have a place role for the Holy Spirit through the practice of centering open worship. Other churches ain't got that. However, people don't know how to discern whether the Holy Spirit is speaking or the self. And then lastly, we don't fully follow what we claim to follow concerning the Holy Spirit, making room.
All right, the Holy Spirit should be in the center of everything and in the corners. It's the third part of the Trinity, and people focus a lot on God and Jesus and sometimes kind of forget about the third one. The Holy Spirit's on call 24/7 to help us. We just need to listen to his guidance and direction through prayer and meditation. We need to ensure that we are, in fact, listening. And when we're working on ministries or anything else, we want to make sure we're doing what God wants and not just following our own lead and going where we want to.
The Holy Spirit should be primary. We need education in practicing the use of the Spirit as our guide and teacher. We should be praying before speaking. We should allow the Spirit to advise us always.
We had down that he's acknowledged but not often given full authority. Sometimes looked upon as a last resort, kind of once we've reached the end of our rope, oh, we should pray about this or seek the Spirit's guidance. However, he is essential to the Christian life, both individually and corporately, as the power generator. And the question came up of, you know, we don't wait on the Holy Spirit enough. When's the last time, either corporately or individually, we spend even 10 minutes contemplating that? We've got a monthly meeting. We've got to decide this now. We can't table it and ponder it and seek guidance and counsel on it. So some challenges that, you know, you haven't texted me back yet, Todd. What's up?
We're saying that God should be the center guide to the decision-making by the Trinity. And I want to read Manny's quote, "Scripture is the ruler is which we measure our lives." And he wants to put fruit in us, like fruits of the Spirit. And I want to, and it has been suggested that I read Romans 5:5. "And hope does not disappoint us, because God poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us."
The Holy Spirit is the thing that drives us and the only thing that we exist because of. The Holy Spirit wants to have the final word, wants to be the core of absolutely everything. As believers are saved by him and we are in communion with God because of him, wants to be our power, our control, our comforter, wants to be the one voice that we cannot move forward without having heard from. And to echo Emma, wants to be our success. Anything less than all this will make us lose our saltiness, our effectiveness, will cause us to become weak, and all the issues, and will cause all of the issues that we're discussing today.
The Holy Spirit is leading every action, deciding every decision. He's the primary in all things and in all of us. He's more than a smile on our face or an amen in church. He's the Superman that lives within us. He's the pilot, not the co-pilot. We are the plane he flies. We go where he commands to do what he wills. We do not compete with him for leadership. We just follow him with all humility and obedience. The test to see if all this we are saying and we believe is true will be when we return to our churches and go back to our normal lives. A better question would be, what place does the Holy Spirit have for us?
We must give God space and time so that the Holy Spirit is the center of all we do. We can't just come to God to approve pre-made descriptions, decisions. The Holy Spirit is the source of all love, compassion, force, vision, boldness, manifestation of gifts, effects action.
this kind of jumps on with Spencer's down there, that I think we need to celebrate that in our tradition we have a great theology of the Holy Spirit, not the extreme that maybe some would have, or not the total neglect, but the Holy Spirit is there. So let's celebrate the fact that Quakers got it right. Yay! And theology of the Holy Spirit. It's a good balanced place. This is what our brother came up with, who's been in three or four other denominations, so I give him the credit for that. He's been able to see it. It points us to Jesus and the Father. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and our discomforter. He's the fruit we see in each other, brothers and sisters. He's the one who wants to have his hands on the steering wheel and on the battery pack. He is the battery pack of our lives.
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Was that enriching? Shall we take just a moment to pause and give the Lord thanks? Would you just, again, center yourself in Him and give Him glory and thanks for what He has done here with us in this last hour and a half? Would you take a minute now to pray for our meetings? Who will be receiving a summary of what went on here and also a request to further discuss and discern these matters over the next year. Father, we ask for you to help us to remain sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. Would you help us to remain in unity as a body as we embrace the challenges and the opportunities that are before us in terms of transition in leadership and relevance in terms of reaching our world for Jesus. Resources, Lord, we pray, meet our needs. And above all, would you be glorified through Iowa Yearly Meeting. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? Brock is going to lead us in the doxology. Shall we sing it together?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. That's a great question for the outgoing superintendent.
The intent is to gather a few, to really sit down and discern all that we have listened and heard, reviewing everything, type up everything that's on these sheets in the middle of your table, and put them out to the churches so they may see what has happened, and then get this back out into the hands of the local church. I would like to shoot for getting some feedback by Spring Body of Representatives so that we can have a report at that time. So I have tapped a couple people on the shoulder. I'm going to tap a couple more to ask them to gather whenever I get a hold of you later after the yearly meeting. So thank you. I guess my point is this. I want us to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying, not what we want the Holy Spirit to say. Okay? God bless.